got Lou and Amal. All right, first of all, before we get started, Lou, we'll start with you. Give us your title, what you do.
And what you really do. Like, then what you really do.
What you really do, not your title, because everybody knows that's like, yeah.
Lou Giacomo, VP of Product at Full Throttle, and I help Amal build things.
That's great.
The reality of it.
Amal's like, I just make sure he helps me build things.
He's like, he's underselling himself, for sure. My name is Amal Mishma. I'm the Chief Product Officer at Full Throttle AI, and I'm the guy that sits in the basement and makes epic shit.
That's awesome.
Literally a basement?
Basically. With remote work, you know, work from home.
Sometimes.
It's a new world. There's an actual basement that I reside in, you know.
Do you get more
done
out
of the
basement?
Bat cave when I need to. Yeah.
Like sunlight in your eyes.
That's exactly it. Man, so I met Full Throttle back, I think you and I were on a call 4 or 5 years ago, when I was still at the dealership, right?
Yes.
And just taught, and like, I think building since like 2018, what you guys are doing at this point.
Yeah.
And talking probably way before a lot of other people were about what data really is and what first party data really is. And there's been a lot of new entrants that are just flooding the market with those words. And I think dealers are maybe a little bit confused.
Yeah.
And the industry is a little bit confused about what are we really talking about when we're talking about this level of data that you guys are looking at. So give us the little skinny on what that really means and what you guys have been doing.
Yeah. Great question. Loaded question, but for sure.
Sure.
You nailed it. Like, we started doing this back in 2018 when it wasn't cool to do it. We knew that it was something that needs to be done. We knew some of, like, the seismic shifts that were going to come into the marketplace due to technology changes, privacy changes, legislation rolling out both at a state level as well as at a national level. And so we've been building a way to create really powerful, identifiable, measurable audiences since back in 2018.
Wow.
And we've invested in that steadily over the past 5-6 years. We've gotten 2 patents since we first started, one on our way to net new create real household audiences, and our second we just got in January for how we run attribution off of traditional video like MVPDs as well as audio, terrestrial, and streaming. So really, really excited. We've been doing it for a long time. It's interesting, you know, your second point, I think, is good, too, that a lot of people have now come into this space, right? And people have come into this three-letter acronym, CDP.
Right.
And I'm going to use a word that you used a couple times, which was confused, right? And I think that while many people aim to have a customer data platform, they end up in a confused data predicament. And that is really... what ends up happening?
That's the real.
Why
CDP.
Aren't you wearing a shirt that says "Confused Data Predicament" with CDP down the side?
Exactly. Right. Like, take look in the mirror. Like, what have you done? Do you have a CDP or do you have a confused data predicament?
Yes.
And I think that's kind of what's happening. But I think you know, the vast majority of the industry has the right idea of how do we harness and activate data. I think the missing mark, which we learned only because we started this early on, is that it's not just about, oh, let's get all the data in one place, but it's well, what are you going to do with it, right? What are you going to think about outcomes? How are you going to use this data? And I think probably what most people are doing, and maybe I'm oversimplifying, but I think it's, hey, we use some technology, we have some data in some place, and now we're uploading some lists to Facebook and Google, and so we're putting more money in Facebook and Google, and that's cool, but it's not really going to help you change your market share by the beginning of 2025, right? You're going to need something that truly is going to have a paradigm shift, especially with, you know, cookie deprecation, all these changes, like, it's going to get pretty crazy. People aren't feeling the pain that much right now. But as cookie deprecation fully rolls out, if you don't have a good way to activate all this data and measure all of that data without feeling like you're going to, what's that show? I saw it at the Bellagio, the Cirque du Soleil, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes doing this data, it feels like a Cirque du Soleil. And it's like, you got to jump through hoops, you got to do somersaults. And dealers don't want to do that. Even their agency partners, I think it can be. So, long answer to your question, but that's what I feel like is, if I had to say, hey, snapshot of what's happening, you know, February 2024, what's going on, I feel like that's the world we're currently living in.
As you're building products, you know, over the last, what it is, that 5 years, there have been these significant changes. We've heard about Apple and then Google planning on deprecating cookies, Apple beginning to block scripts where we can't even have the access to the people that are on the site, or like looking at how to sync that stuff in the privacy laws with what's necessary between tracking on sites versus what we have in the DMS or the CRM. How are you overcoming some of these like broad technological changes that the biggest players are implementing, and you're saying, got to pivot again? What are the pivots that you're making to make sure that dealers can still communicate in the way they need to customers?
I think there's a couple of general themes that you don't really have to pivot from necessarily, and one of them is privacy, for example. So we're always on the cutting edge of, you know, consumer privacy and making sure that everything is always consented and opted in. And I think that's something where that doesn't change that much. Everyone has a general idea. There's state-by-state legislation. There's nuance to all that. But in a general sense, you know, when you use, you know, first-party data, I think you're already in a better place to compare to when you buy some of these lists from, you know, other places that you don't exactly know where they come from. So I think that's already a good start. And then I think, you know, moving quickly and keeping a, you know, a small team dedicated to innovation and being able to stay on top of new tech, continue, you know, it's like a Formula One car. It's always building, you know, there's always modifications being made.
I'll preach to that.
So I think that's the recipe, is kind of keeping the, you know, those long-standing, never-changing principles in place while keeping a small, nimble team ready to keep innovating and building.
Do you guys think it would be useful to talk, because I think you touched on a really important topic, which is that people know stuff is changing, mm-hmm. but I think it's hard. I think there's like, it's hard to understand. Well, like what is it? There's like cookies, there's mobile IDs.
It's really useful to talk about that because the three of you really understand the technical side of what's going on. But I think the vast majority of dealers don't.
It's like the sky is falling mentality.
Yeah. And unless you have a marketer on the team who is really dialed in, that isn't just spending most of their time making, you know, sliders and offer content, right?
Yeah, right.
That's cold-blooded, bro.
No, but I'm it's real. But I'm saying there are just a massive majority, or probably is a majority, of dealerships who have a marketer who just doesn't have the time to dive this deep into the content. So I think it's hugely useful because I think it's a real problem and a real thing that like people can get pulled astray really quickly when you don't know much.
100%.
Because everybody else sounds right because you know more than I do, so you must be right. So yes, very
100%.
Helpful.
So let's start with the simplest one. The first one is called mobile IDs, and it's about your mobile device, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, right? And there's essentially two big use cases that probably every dealer has heard of. So let's talk about those two important use cases. This is one of the biggest things that has changed and it's no longer as effective. So it's a good one to start with, right? With every mobile device, there's a unique mobile device ID, right? And it's global, it's mostly unchanging, right? And that's what people use. And for a long time, you were able to say, okay, I want to target all the people that are on my competitors' lots right now, right? Or you're saying, I want to target all the people that are, you know, going to Pep Boys. And so you can go essentially set up little geo-addressable areas, capture all the mobile devices that are going to that location. And the way that worked is that everyone has some free apps on their phone, and certainly before Apple made their changes, you had those like free game apps, free weather apps, or if you have kids, your kids are on those free game apps.
Yeah, they are.
Right? And those apps were getting your location, the background.
The little I agree to terms and conditions.
Not even that. Well, it was just downloading the app. The Wild West.
Yeah. You don't have to say anything. So then what happens is that Apple comes out with this change. This is what everyone's heard of, and they started saying privacy, right? And that's the do not follow.
Ask app not to track.
Yeah, ask app not to track, right? And so that's what everyone gets on phones. About 60% of people say no to that, right? Or they say, yes, I don't want them
don't
to track
me.
Don't track me, right?
I'm out.
Right, they're out. So now what happens to all your ability to do this? You can't do it anymore. The second biggest use case is walk-in, walk-on attribution, right? Where they say, you can do media campaign X or blah, blah, blah X. We're going to tell you how many people actually walked onto the lot. Like Google kind of does this a little bit. There's a lot of vendors out there. It's using your mobile ID.
Right.
So if you say do not track, right, now you can no longer use those solutions. So that is one huge one that's changing. There are solutions out there that say that they are cookieless, but they are mobile ID full, right? And so if this is gone too, what's left? Right, so I think that's the first one, and maybe you want to talk about some of the cookie deprecation piece too.
Yes, I mean the cookie,
simplifying it for like dealers.
Overall, I think you know for a dealer, for even anyone who's not as in the weeds of all the different kinds of cookies, I think you know you go on a website and now you see all the consent banners of do you agree to this and all that.
Yep.
But before any of those things were in place, the way third-party cookies worked is there were ad networks out there Google, you know, is even a good one, that just any website could put the Google tag on their site. And they have all kinds of different reasons why they do that, for analytics purposes and all that. But then really behind the scenes too, these ad tech networks are bundling all of those different people on all these sites they visit. So when you visit a food site, when you visit an automotive site, they're tracking you across site. And they're building audiences of people just like you. And they make those audiences available for sale in digital media platforms.
Yep.
What's changing with no more third-party cookies is that that cross-site tracking is going away.
Yes.
The only tracking that can happen now is individualized to every site. So they won't know you were on an auto site and on a food site. The food site will know you were on their site. The auto site knows you're on yours. There's no connectivity in the middle there. So really, just the robustness of who's all in market, who's all looking for this, who's looking for that, totally drops, because now it depends on each individual website to maintain their own audience, their own traffic, you know, and make that audience available.
Well, let me ask the $500 billion question. How do you fix that? What technology is going to span the gap? Because you're spending money to get that information, and now all those indicators are going away. It doesn't sound like an easy problem to solve, right? But what solves the problem? What does the future look like?
I think if I had the
if it was an easy
answer,
question,
yeah.
It wouldn't be a $500 billion question.
A lot of different solutions out there are building to figure something out.
Yep.
And I think, you know, Trade Desk, if you guys are familiar with those kind of media platforms, you know, they have, let's have everyone give their email address and all agree to join our network, you know, and we'll put an ID attached to all of it. There are things where technologies are grabbing an IP address off the website. You know, everyone's familiar where an IP address is, but not everyone realizes that, like, they're actually changing the framework of IP addresses. They're changing what they look like. A whole nother, you know.
It's a whole thing of IPv4 and IPv6.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we don't want to get into that.
No, don't even get into it. So the short answer is that there is nothing really. There's nothing as ubiquitous as mobile ad IDs and third-party cookies from that widespread connecting people all across systems perspective.
What we do differently is that we're providing something that's not going to solve every single person's problem, but it does solve dealers' problems, right? And so we build first-party data, not just from your DMS, that's one obvious source of first-party data, but the second is other ones like your website traffic, right? You have really important website audiences. And I think I'll make a hypothesis that if we have this conversation in 2025, right? And we come back here and say, hey, did this happen? I think that one big definition is going to change, that dealers are going to learn to stop using the word traffic. And they're going to use the word audiences, because that is what's going to happen in the future. We believe that 2024 is the year of audiences as a result of everything that we just talked about. You need access to first-party data. And when you think about running large media and driving households and people to your site, you should now be thinking about those as really valuable, profitable, measurable audiences that can go help power all these other problems that are happening in the ad tech universe.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen,
I love that. Wow. That's a great way to end.
We got it on. We got it recorded now.
We got it recorded. We'll come back next
year later.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time. Thanks for the hard work you're doing, whether in the basement or everywhere else.
Yeah.
We really need you out there looking over the horizon. So thanks for giving us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.